The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Asia Pacific shares are trading relatively flat this Monday morning, although investors should brace for a busy week ahead. Tokyo is a notch in the red, Sydney a notch in the green. Seoul is the biggest mover this morning, trading up almost 0.5%. Joining me now for a look behind the numbers and to break down all the market action is Pan Jingyi. She's a senior market strategist with IG, filling in for Ryan Huang, who is on leave till the middle of this week. How are you doing, Jingyi? How's the weekend?
I am good. How are you?
I am very well rested and ready to roll this week. Looks like it's going to be a busy one for us. Yeah. The first month of 2021 is nearly over, Jingyi.
I know, it's so fast and I felt like we're still, you know, just trying to get over 2020.
Yeah, I feel... Although it feels like things are moving at the speed of light at the same time. So here we are, the first month of 2021, almost done. Investors are facing such a busy week in the days ahead. Plenty of information that could test investor appetite for risk. So one headline I saw over the weekend on MarketWatch puts it this way. Stock markets bulls brace for major gut check as earnings, Fed and GDP loom. The coming week may present the closest thing to a reckoning for bullish investors so far in 2021. So let's take a look at each of these three factors in turn. Let's start with corporate earnings. More than one third of the Dow components, some 111 S&P companies, S&P 500, they're set to report earnings this week. Some of the biggest tech names are going to open their books. Jingyi, what are markets expecting?
Well, it's interesting, Michelle, you know, because we did go into this earnings season as well, likewise expecting year-on-year declines in terms of the earnings per share performance, and well, slightly better than Q3's 9.2% drop. But I think, you know, the market's still expecting, well, not too fancy results to be the case. But I think last week, you know, alongside Netflix surprise, 13% of the S&P 500 index companies that reported their earnings so far has seen 86% of them beating earnings and 75% in terms of the sales. So I think the numbers came out to be pretty positive, and the market's just, you know, coming to terms to the fact that we may actually be maybe underestimating some of the earnings performance in Q4. So how is that going to pan out? I think it's, you know, as you said, it's going to be a moment of reckoning, because a lot of the FANG names where people have put their money to, Apple, Tesla, Facebook, these are the guys that are going to report their quarterly earnings this week. And I think, you know, just really on the back of what we're seeing in the worsening pandemic situation, if they really don't match up to the expectation, that could be some more volatility for the market to
Perhaps give us a signal if the FANG stocks are going to continue their run for 2021.
Yeah.
So the US earnings season so far, I agree, going pretty well. Among those S&P 500 companies that have already reported earnings, more than 70% have topped expectations, both on sales figures and earnings per share. And at this rate, they may top last quarter when the number of S&P 500 components topping expectations hit a record. Two busiest sessions for U.S. earnings this week going to be Wednesday and Thursday. So, Jingyi, let's turn to that second factor on my three list of things to watch out for, and that is the U.S. Federal Reserve. We're going to have an update from the Fed Thursday morning, Singapore time. Yep. So now that a new U.S. administration is in place, Congress considering that $1.9 trillion spending package, what are you going to be looking out for from the Fed?
Yeah, so well, definitely another big one. But, you know, with the Fed itself, we're not expecting them to come through with any monetary policy changes. In fact, that's really the kind of thing you'll be hearing us repeating until at least through this year. But instead, the Fed will actually at the start of the year have, well, perhaps a new outlook, just really coming to terms with what they are seeing, you know, given how we have a worsening COVID-19 condition in the US, but yet at the same time, expectation for more fiscal injection after the last round launch is seen in Christmas period itself. So what the Fed is going to say, I think it's going to be quite important as well for the new administration, as you pointed out, in terms of how, you know, the market's going to see the likelihood of them putting more money to work for the U.S. economy.
On Thursday, a day after the Fed's decision, markets participants will receive an official report card on the health of the U.S. economy. Now, many observers expect fourth quarter growth to come in at around 4%. Do you agree with that assessment, Jingyi? And how do you think markets are likely to react?
Yes, so well, certainly, Michelle, I think, you know, when it comes to the Q4 reading itself, it's been a quarter where we've certainly seen elevated COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations in the U.S. coming to, well, quite a bit of explosive rate altogether. So the market's definitely expecting the year, quarter-on-quarter growth to slow to 4%. I don't think, you know, it's going to deviate too far from which, evidently, quite a bit of a significant slowdown from the recovery of 33.4% that you have seen in the third quarter itself. I think one thing pointed at Emily just now on from CNBC had mentioned as well is in terms of how the, well, consumption itself, given the COVID-19 restriction, could really be seeing quite a bit of a decline, and that with new movement restriction order, and we know for GDP accounting, that's a huge significant chunk of which. So just going to be bracing for any disappointment, but, you know, any surprises here. I don't think the markets may be taking that too well either, just really due to the fiscal stimulus hopes.
So while the GDP for the US is expected to grow 4% in the fourth quarter, other major economies not doing so well. Double dip recessions now expected in Japan, in Europe and the UK, in part due to lockdowns and other actions intended to fight the spread of COVID-19. So investors, Jingyi, have been largely looking past the pandemic. How worried are you that COVID concerns could bring out the bears again?
Yeah, Michelle, so I think there is this kind of mix in the short term, well, a little bit of a downer due to the fact that we have more movement restriction on us. But at the same time, you're getting this medium to longer term outlook of recovery. So from what I'm seeing right now in terms of the price movements, I think they are certainly trading to what's been seen in the medium to longer term fundamentals. I think so far what's been heartening has been the fact that some of the data hasn't come in to be as well bad as what we are seeing. But the new cases, even in parts like China, New Zealand just recorded their first community cases today. These are the kind of signs that it's worth continuing to monitor. But as far as US markets concerns, yes, there's been a slowdown, but I think it's not to the point where I would be too worried yet.
I want to turn to the UK now. You would have thought British equities would be having a rough start to the year. After all, it just exited the European Union, and that is unleashing a huge amount of red tape, particularly for companies that export to the continent. And then, of course, there is COVID-19, a new strain of COVID-19 spreading fast in the UK, overwhelming many hospitals and leading to another lockdown. And yet, the FTSE 100 is outperforming the Dow and the S&P 500. It's up nearly 4% since the beginning of the year. So, Jingyi, just what is the attraction, and are you surprised by how well British equities are doing?
Yeah, Michelle, I think we have to also highlight the fact that the US, well, I should say British equities, the FTSE 100 in particular, if you put it on the charts against the S&P and the Dow, it's actually just really doing kind of catch up to the rest of the region. So I think, you know, what you are seeing with the US and the Dow is that prices had largely surpassed that was seen before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. They've gone on to record highs. Whereas with the likes of FTSE 100, even though it's, well, in Q4 jumped 10%, and year-to-date, likewise, up about 3.6%, really leading the kind of charge here. It's still not at levels that were seen before the COVID-19 pandemic. I will liken that a little bit to our market here in Singapore as well. So I think that's been the picture. So it's been suppressed both on the back of COVID-19, the kind of spread that's been seen in the UK, and of course with the kind of Brexit concerns that's been, well, lingering all along. But, you know, that's the change. I think people are starting to see that the UK is really moving ahead, leading in terms of, well, getting the mass inoculation going. And, well, also I think just really in terms of the Brexit deal, there were a lot of anticipation or expectation, fears that we could be seeing, well, a no-deal Brexit, but they eventually did, well, dish out something. So that's been a little bit of a relief, I think, we are seeing for UK equity so far. And, you know, as much as the picture is concerned, I think moving forward, the expectation is that this could may well continue.
British equity is playing catch up. Yeah, and along those lines, British stocks therefore becoming popular with value investors who note that the FTSE 100's returns have lagged behind the US and Europe for years. So what is your take? Do you agree with the strategy?
Yeah, well, so I think, you know, there is the other thing, you know, it's just really running on the theme of who's getting well vaccinated at this point of time. I do think that with what we are seeing with the UK situation, that I think it's going to be the next key driver to the kind of sub trends in the market, including for your UK altogether. I think that's going to be a positive.
Let's turn to corporate news, Jingyi. There are a couple of headlines I want to get through. So we're going to do this game show style. I'll name a company. You tell us why it's making the news. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, well, I think I'm prepared.
Here we go, Capital Land.
Yeah, so Capital Land is one that's been announcing their profit guidance on Friday. And, well, they are expecting a loss for the full year ending 2020, December 31st. And this is due to the impact of revaluations and impairments, as we well see many of these kind of companies is really dealing with this over the COVID-19 period. So generally, I think, you know, this come across as perhaps not too positive a news.
Yeah. Yeah, Capital Land has issued a profit warning. The developer likely lost more than 1.5 billion Singapore dollars last year. It is, though, still expecting to pay a dividend to investors. Next up, FJ Benjamin.
Yeah, so with this, well, company itself, this actually announcement that's been made, a regulatory update on Sunday, in fact, over the weekend, that they have obtained an in-principle approval from the SGX to transfer to the Catalyst board. Of course, this will be subjected to shareholders' approval.
Indeed. The switch, though, is expected to make it easier for the retailer, FJ Benjamin, to raise funds. Next up, Jumbo.
Yes, so this is going to make everyone a little bit hungry. But the food and beverage company Jumbo Group had announced on Sunday its indirect wholly owned subsidiary has entered into a joint venture agreement with the Art of Mee Pok to run outlets selling Teochew fish balls and minced meat noodles.
Fishball fans unite. It's going to make us all really happy, I think.
Hungry too.
The Art of Mee Pok sounds like it could be a movie name.
I know. I'm hungry right now.
Well, I'll let you get off to breakfast in a bit. But first up, SGX.
Yes, so with SGX, this is one of those that's announcing earnings. And SGX on Friday, actually, well, posted net profit up 12.4%. This is driven by higher revenue. So this came across all three of its businesses, equities, fixed income, currencies and commodities, data connectivity indices, and so on. So this, I think, you know, really comes across as what the CEO himself, Loh Boon Chye, has said is a solid performance in the first half of FY21.
So yes, SGX is reporting a 12% rise in first half profits. And yet we're also seeing reports of companies who are considering going private, which presumably is not good for the exchange. So what is your take on the SGX? Still a good investment?
Well, so I think really due to the fact that we do have quite a lot of volatility in the market generally, I think a lot of these exchanges, these clearinghouses, I think the expectation is for them to really hold up into this half of, well, first half of this year as well.
Next up, Kuaishou Technology.
Yeah, so this is a Chinese online video company that's aiming to raise 4.95 to 5.4 billion, quite a massive amount in its IPO. And it will be actually the largest in Hong Kong for more than a year. Of course, we know that's what happened well with Ant, for example. But coming through, I think this is going to be the next big one to really watch and certainly for the market as well.
Yeah, this could be the world's biggest IPO, rivaling Uber. So Kuaishou Technology, the main rival to ByteDance in China there. Let's check in on local stocks. The Straits Times Index dropped nearly 1% on Friday to drop below the 3,000 mark. It fell 25 points to 29.91. Jingyi, how's the blue chip index doing this morning?
Well, so I would have to say that it does look like we're going to the start of the week with a bit of a positive sentiment cutting across Asia a little bit, not too much. But you're seeing early movers in the region, the Nikkei 225 up about 0.5%. The ASX 200 up about 0.4%. The Kospi, I think, actually, in fact, has just really inched up at this point of time, up about 1.2%. And in turn, most importantly for our Straits Times Index this morning, just really shortly after the open, We've seen prices up above the 3,000 level once again. In fact, it's up about 10 points to 3,001, so about 0.3% gains. I think, it's once again reclaiming that level, so I think it's going to keep that push going for just really continuing the uptrend.
All right, it's fishball noodles time, Jingyi.
Yes.
She's fun, Jingyi. You're listening to the show that's all about your money. I'm Michelle Martin.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.